Welcome back. Simon Slickus in for Mitch Melnick. Matt Stein.
Hello.
Dave Chedidui with me until 7 o'clock. Irish Embassy pregame show with Sean Campbell goes off at 7. Take it at 7:30. Habs versus Panthers. Dan Robertson and Sergio Momesso with the call. We'll wrap it up with the Del Mar Canadiens postgame show. Joining us now from TSN, RDS, and ESPN.com, Pierre Lebrun. Pierre, good afternoon.
All right.
How you doing, Pierre?
TSN parking lot.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I'm in my car.
No, not just standing.
Not just
there
hanging
in
out in the parking lot. No. Okay, good. All right.
It's too early in the evening.
What does that mean, Amanda?
You know, sometimes you just end up hanging around parking lots.
All right. Okay,
you don't
cool.
know where else to go.
Pierre, a couple of things from news and notes from the National Hockey League. Let's start with the Canadiens last night, taking a 3-1 lead into the third period. They lose that lead. They lose the game in overtime. Pierre, do you find a little bit, I could say weird, I don't know, a better choice of words, but like, I don't know, if I was the coach of the Canadiens, you laid an egg last night in the second part of that game, not really the second part of that game, in the second part of that third period, you lose a point to a division rival. Isn't it just a little bit of hockey 101 here? You just come back with Carey Price. Do you find it a little bit complex on how they just refuse to play him on back-to-back nights?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I showed a lot of enthusiasm there. I mean, listen, they're not in a desperate situation. They're in first place. I get it that, I mean, why are you risking? I mean, here's a guy who missed almost all of last year, and you put it pretty much in your head that you're not going to play him in back-to-back situations in a year in which there's already a very compressed schedule, right? He may not be playing back-to-backs, but he's playing a lot of two and fours because of the way the schedule is laid out this year. So I got no problem with it. I mean, besides, Al Montoya was terrific in Columbus before the holiday break, so I don't see any qualms with going to him tonight.
Alex Radulov got a goal last night, first goal in a while. He hasn't produced... probably has a little bit to do with Alex Galchenyuk not being in the lineup. But you think that there's also a grind here for him, just as you mentioned, the schedule and him coming, you know, from the KHL back to here and just getting the NHL grind, getting the better of him?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he hasn't played a full NHL season in forever, because if you remember, his last time in the NHL, he joined late in the year. So, you know, this is a first for him in a long time. But then again, I mean, KHL year is no easy pumpkin either, right? I mean, those guys practice like crazy people when they're not playing games in the KHL. So that's a grind of its own. I'm talking to a lot of coaches and players who are over there. So I just think this is a normal up and down of a season. I think he probably had it in him that he wanted to make such an important first impression, because people are really doubting what he was about when he signed. And so he has so much focus on getting off to a great start that sort of a bit of a natural tailing off here. But, you know, you saw his effort last night. I mean, he's a guy that doesn't let you down with his work ethic. Obviously, his offensive touch will come and go, but I thought he was one of Montreal's harder working players last night.
Late yesterday afternoon, Artemi Panarin signs a 2-year, $12 million contract, $6 million a year. First, let's start with the contract. Are you surprised that it's only a 2-year deal, Pierre?
Well, I mean, I guess to some degree, I mean, it's great for him. He's UFA in two years, so no one's happier than him. He'll be 27 years old and eligible for UFA status. But we'll see if he gets the market. I mean, I think now what Stan Bowman has done is give himself 2 years to try and figure out a way to find money for him. You know, there had been some discussions of a longer-term deal, I'm told, but there was just no way the Hawks could afford it right now, because it would have been for way more money per year had they done a long-term deal. And given the long-term salary cap commitments that they have to Toews and Kane and Nisimov, Hossa, Seabrook, Keith, and Crawford, they just couldn't do it. So at some point over the next 2 years, Stan Bowman, who's Mr. Salary Cap Magician, it seems like he's constantly having to find creative ways to reinvent, you know, some of the parts around the core here, you know, maybe he finds money over the next 2 years to sign Panarin long term. And the guy that kind of jumps out off that page, with all due respect, because the guy's probably Hall of Famer, is Baron Hossa. I mean, he will be, you know, how old will he be in 2 years? Like 37, 38? maybe older. I don't have his bio in front of me, but I mean, I wonder if that's not the guy that at some point in a year and a half or 2 years that you sit down with and try and figure something out. I mean, he's got a full no move and is quite happy in Chicago, but somewhere for sure the Hawks will try to find money to extend Panarin in a couple of years.
Pierre, we've been having this discussion over the last couple of days, is when is it too many outdoor games in a season? And then I read your piece today on ESPN.com, your conversation with Wendell Clark, and then I realized that part of the real allure to me anyways to these outdoor games is the alumni part of it, is when we get the old timers out before the actual game being played. Do you think that that's, you know, becoming one of the bigger attractions of these outdoor games?
I mean, it certainly is at some of them, Amanda. I mean, the one in Colorado last year between the Wings and the Red Wings actually looked like a game from the 90s where the two teams wanted to kill each other. But I don't think this one Saturday will be quite as competitive because, as Wendell said, his Leafs team's a lot older. But I think there is, for some of the fans, the alumni is a lot of fun. I mean, the game isn't that good at the end of the day, let's be honest. But it's just fun seeing your heroes out there, I guess. I think that the one thing, though, is, and you know, Montreal's never got to host one yet. I feel bad for Habs fans, but I've covered a bunch of them. I think I've covered like a dozen NHL door games now.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I can tell you is that, you know, the shine has kind of worn off a lot of these games being national television appointment television. You know what I mean?
Yep.
First few were. I think the rest of the world doesn't really tune in with the same interest as they used to. But when you're in that city that is hosting the game, it tends to ramp up pretty good. People tend to get into it. Now, I don't know if that'll be the case here in Toronto. I mean, they still haven't quite sold out the game. I think there's about 1,000 tickets left to be sold, although they're pretty confident they'll get that done the next few days. I mean, that speaks as much to the million things going on in Toronto with World Juniors and the Raptors and, you know, just in terms of the entertainment dollar. I have a call coming out on this tomorrow, but you know, the World Cup of Hockey was here, the Grey Cup. The MLS team ended up going to the finals.
The NBA, the Raptors.
The Raptors went deep, and they're still a hot ticket now, early in this season. So you can say what you want about the deep pockets of Southern Ontario and the Toronto market. And, yeah, it is a very affluent sports market. But there is a limit. And, I mean, you know, New Year's Eve, Canada plays USA in the World Junior game there at Canada Center, and the next day the outdoor game, Toronto-Detroit. You're looking at about $5,000, I think, if you're a family of four trying to go to both.
Yeah.
Yep. But there is a limit. And you know, I think the league was concerned about Toronto getting this outdoor game because of all this, because they knew that the World Cup was coming. They knew the World Juniors would be partly held here. And you know, that's without even knowing what the Raptors and Blue Jays ended up doing in the Toronto FC. But it's tough. I mean, there is a limit to all this, and I think you're seeing that. Not to mention that the I don't know if you guys know this, but the tickets for the Centennial Classic Sunday for the real game on Ticketmaster, so the official price,
right,
not the market price, but the official price is from $129 is your cheapest ticket, and those ones are not available anymore, up to $400.
Whew.
So
yikes.
I mean, all that to freeze your bum off, but
And you do. I went to the Canadians versus the Calgary Flames, a Heritage Classic. I can affirm that you do freeze your butt off, and then it takes about 3 years until you feel your body right again.
Yeah, and so Amanda, from being there, I covered that one as well. That wasn't a game that got a lot of traction nationally.
Yeah.
But from being there, you could feel it.
Absolutely. It was so much fun to be there, so much fun to be a part of it. And I do, like, I distinctly remember that they had to stop the game at one point because the ice wasn't melting because it was too cold, that the ice wasn't melting properly, and there's guys out there trying to get the ice ready. But it all became part of the whole experience. So I definitely understand what you mean by the city of which it takes place embraces it in its own way.
And I think at the end of the day, they will here in Toronto, like, right when it matters, because one of the things happening right now, of course, with this young Leafs team is they've re-engaged their fan base. I mean,
yeah,
fans are pretty excited about Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. They're on a bit of a roll right now. And I mean, heck, they're in playoff contention, which would seem completely unforeseen for me anyway, back in September. But so I think you'll see. But one of the other knocks, one last knock, I'm not trying to be Captain Negative on this matchup, is that Detroit and Toronto played at the Big House at Ann Arbor 3 years ago on January 1st, 2014. I was there for that one, too. 105,000 people,
wow.
Half of them Leaf fans. It was an unbelievable spectacle to see 105,000 people at such an historical venue watching a hockey game. And so I think that has hurt this event a bit, too, because you're like, oh, and now we're going to play at BMO Field, which was built like 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, whoop.
39,000.
Yeah,
a little bit of a downfall there.
It was coming down, yeah.
I did want to ask you, sticking with the province of Ontario, a big moment happening in Ottawa tonight with, or Canada, I should say, Daniel Alfredsson coming home, getting his jersey retired. Maybe just a favorite memory of Daniel Alfredsson, or what you think this means to this franchise and the fan base.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just get it out of the way because I can't believe there was a debate about this on Twitter last night. But I think he's a Hall of Famer through and through. So let me just be on record for that. But I can't believe some people think he isn't. But he was just such a classy captain, treated so many people the right way, and charitable guy. But one of my favorite memories, I mean, I covered all the Battle of Ontario playoff games, and which didn't go Ottawa's way very often. But one of the things I'll never forget is during their cup run in 07 when they lost in the cup final to Anaheim. The Senators really got smoked in that final by the Ducks, but I don't have it in front of me. I think he at least scored one goal, if not two, in that game five. And I just remember sitting in the press box at the Honda Center in Anaheim thinking, this guy has not given up. I mean, there are a lot of guys that were mentally and physically beaten down by the Ducks on that Senators team, if not the captain. And I just remember that he went down swinging. And it's just one of those memories. I've said this earlier today, but I often feel like you learn more about an athlete in that time of loss, that time of incredible pain and adversity, than you do when they win at all. I mean, who doesn't like to win? But I just remember that he played to the last whistle there in that cup final despite the five-game loss. I think it says a lot about him.
Pierre, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy the weekend. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you next week.
Right on.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Stay out of trouble.
We'll try. Bye, Pierre. Happy New Year.
Stay out of trouble.
Yeah,
he's talking to me. He's talking to me. Don't worry.
I'm saying this coming from the guy hanging out in a parking lot.
No. Trust me. I know Pierre well enough to know he is definitely directing that question or that statement to me.
Good times. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think so, too.